98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Delcarpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. 8:05, it is a Tuesday, the 3rd of March. Thank you for joining us this morning. First half of the show, I'm going to have to talk to you again because our guest we thought we had something come up. So sometimes you run into stretches like this. Mark Steiner is going to join us, the Columbia Orange Orchestra Association, second half of the show. They've got some shows coming up during the course of March and April, heading into springtime. So we will talk to Mark a little after 8:30 this morning. But first, as we always do, let's tell you about what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. This day in 1845, Florida became a state. 1849, Congress established the U.S. Department of the Interior. On this day in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln signed the act creating the National Academy of Sciences. 1931, President Herbert Hoover signed a bill making the Star-Spangled Banner the national anthem of the United States. So it has been the anthem for all that long when you get right down to it. And I know some people that there is discussion whether this should be the anthem or not. I don't have a real hard and fast thought on that. Just, we know they do that. Also, 1943, in London's East End, 173 people died in a crush of bodies at the Bethnal Green Tube Station, which was being used as a wartime air raid shelter. 1945, Allied troops fully secured the Philippine capital of Manila from Japanese forces during World War II after a month-long battle that destroyed much of the city. 1969, Apollo 9 blasted off from Cape Kennedy on a mission to test NASA's lunar module. This day in 1991, motorist Rodney King was severely beaten by Los Angeles police officers after a high-speed chase and a scene captured on amateur video that sparked public outrage. The subsequent acquittal of four officers of felony assault and other charges in April 1992 triggered days of rioting and dozens of deaths in Los Angeles. 2005, millionaire adventurer Steve Fawcett became the first person to fly a plane around the world solo without stopping or refueling, landing in Slated, Kansas, where he took off 67 hours earlier. 2022, OxyContin and maker Purdue Pharma reached nationwide settlement over its role in the opioid crisis, with the Sackler family members who own the company boosting their cash contribution to as much as $6 million in a deal intended to stem a flood of lawsuits. Days for today, it is National Anthem Day today. It is World Wildlife Day today. It's National Sportsmanship Day today. It's something you should practice when competing. It's I Want You to Be Happy Day today. Don't worry, be happy. For those who remember that tune, I probably now have just stuck it in your head for a few hours. It is Unique Names Day today. Got a lot of names thing going here the last few days. It is also, and this is scary to think about, what if cats and dogs had opposable thumbs day? It would mean we'd have a lock on our refrigerator. That's what it would mean. And our cupboards. And I know there are some dogs and cats who have figured out how to get into the cupboards too, without the opposable thumbs. So think what they could do if they had them. And finally, please, I'm going to start right out with this. Don't do this, what I'm going to bring up, because frankly, it just makes you annoying to other people. And you come across as a pretentious, self-absorbed human being. Other words I thought of, I couldn't use. It's Talk in Third Person Day. That would be if I came on and said things like, Mark Bailey is going to do what Mark Bailey needs to do. That's irritating, isn't it? makes me sound like, again, self-absorbed, pretentious, someone you do not want to be around. Do not go around doing this. I don't care what the day thing says. Do not go around talking in third person. Unless you just want to be an outcast, then go for it. Okay, Cameron, you're going to chime in here. Surely you cannot disagree with this.
I had a teacher, I remember back in like 8th grade.
Oh my gosh.
And she would talk in third person, but she was talking to herself, and she ended up using it kind of as a, I guess as a way to get herself to do things she didn't always want to do.
And she was in charge of teaching young minds.
She was actually a pretty good teacher, but she was an odd duck, I will admit.
If you're doing that now, all of us talk to ourselves in some way. For me, I can think the place is when I hit a bad shot on the golf course, which is way too frequent. And you're like, come on, Mark, what are you doing? You know. So,
yeah.
But what I'm talking about is, you know, for those who remember Ricky Henderson, he was more funny than annoying, but Ricky Henderson, the great baseball player, greatest leadoff man, hitter of all time, in my opinion, and I'm right. He talked in third person a lot, interviews. I think part of that was just a shtick for him, in reality.
Yeah, but yeah, might have been.
You've been talking about me and his next contract. Ricky's got to do what Ricky's got to do. Deion Sanders used to do it to much more arrogance and annoyance.
Right.
Oh, yes, I can think of others. You know, but no, I just don't do that. It's just people who do that habitually, I don't want to be around. Just don't. Because to me, it's showing off other issues. Now, if they're mumbling to themselves, okay, fine. I'm talking about people who talk in third person out loud to themselves to others.
Fair enough. I think I agree with that.
Okay. So there we go. Amazing what the debates we can get into on this show. The food and drink today. It's National Mulled Wine Day today. Celebrate responsibly. It is National Soup It Forward Day. I have no idea what this means. There was no explanation to it. Other than maybe buy somebody a cup of soup today. That's all I can think of. It is Canadian Bacon Day today. Usually we associate that as a pizza topping around here. And it's also National Cold Cuts Day today. Nothing like a good, you know, set of cold cuts for lunch with a sandwich. That works. So there it is for what it's worth. Probably not a whole lot. 8:12 in the morning. We will come back, and the Oregon legislature is getting busy because they've only got a few days left, and they will be sent home, I hope. So we will come back and discuss after this.
Happy New Year from Precision Automotive in the Dalles. Precision Automotive takes this moment to say thank you to our incredible community for voting them Best of the Gorge once again this year. They're honored to bring home the gold medal for Best Mechanic, along with silver medals for Best Oil Change and Best Auto Repair. Your trust means everything to them, and they're proud to keep you safe on the road all year long. From the team at Precision Automotive, thank you and Happy New Year.
How can you measure the value of education-based athletics? Well, the value is in what makes it invaluable. That's because school sports aren't just about winning. They're about learning and growing. School sports aren't just about gaining trophies and accolades. They're about learning life lessons, bringing a whole community together, developing character and integrity, having coaches who mentor you and teammates who become lifelong friends. And you can't put a price on any of that. That's what makes education-based athletics invaluable. Of course, when you participate in school sports, you want to win and become a better athlete. But the purpose is so much greater: becoming a better person. Support your local school sports programs. And if you have a student, encourage them to get involved.
This message presented by the OSAA and the Oregon Athletic Directors Association.
Parents, tired of conversations that go nowhere?
How was your day?
Fun.
With conversation starters from parenting.org, you can turn fine into fun.
What was the funniest thing that happened today?
I was sitting next to Piper at lunch, and she had this, like, chicken fish patty thing.
Text Convo to 51550 for weekly conversation starters, from silly to serious. And connect more with parenting.org from Boys Town.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
8:15 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. It does look like that the referendum, the gas tax referendum, will be voted on in May. It did pass the Senate. It's headed to the governor's desk to get signed. I don't suspect that's going to be an issue. So it is coming, apparently. We're finally through with this discussion. And the May versus November was purely a political argument for political leverage that is perceived by some people. That's it. My suspicion, if enough people care about this, they'll show up to vote in the May election. I mean, I think it's that simple, to be honest. I don't subscribe to this, the theory that, oh, the voters want it in November. No, I think the voters want it done quick. I don't subscribe to that. And the folks who are saying it should be in November are the ones who want the referendum to pass. I think the referendum is going to pass. I think what they purport to have wanted through the petition will happen. The May versus November is about political leverage theories I don't think are probably going to actually play any role in the November election. I think the problem for Oregon Republicans is what's going to play a role in the November election is something they can't control at all up higher in their party. And that's what the election is going to be about. But anyway, it's going to be on the May ballot. So, and by the way, do participate and vote, however you feel about it. And we'll see what occurs. I think the referendum probably will pass. And then back to the drawing board again on it. But anyway, that's coming along. Also, I didn't get this in our news today, but apparently yesterday, the MOTUS Center bill to allow the state issued up to $360 million in bonds to go towards that arena's renovation that is allegedly needed. And I guess actually in the modern arena game, yes, it does. I mean, I did stop and think about it. You know, the MOTUS Center is 30 years old. When it opened, Portland Memorial Coliseum was about 35 or 36 years old. And it had been deemed about this same time in its lifespan, no longer a suitable home for an NBA franchise. And now the MOTUS Center is not considered a suitable home for an NBA franchise. I'll use the word considered. It's going to advance. It got out of the Joint Ways and Means Committee. Bipartisan support, apparently. It'll advance to the floor for a vote of both chambers before this session's over toward the end of the week. I think Jeff Helfrich told me off air there was some rumor that the thought was they could actually adjourn Thursday. We'll see. It's always kind of a guessing game, depending on some activity. And frankly, the transportation bill part of this probably paves the way in the end for it to get done sooner rather than later. But I'm still, you know, we talk about all these other things that we have in crisis in this state, or allegedly in crisis in some cases. But we can find a way to get $360 million for this. And by the way, I mean, there's some strings attached. The city of Portland's got to kick in. Multnomah County's got to kick in. It's not all in the state here. But when they say the place is no longer suitable for an NBA team, what that is code for is there's not enough luxury money-making opportunities in a building like this. We need more suites, more ability to squeeze money out of people in different ways While the average person is priced completely out of the majority of events that will take place in the facility. I've gone to hockey games, Portland Memorial Coliseum, 60 plus years old, and I got news for you. The Portland Memorial Coliseum still works. They did do a big renovation last year. I've not been to a game this year, a winter hockey game. But I've been to enough before. You know, it wasn't fancy, didn't have all the bells and whistles, but you know what I could do there? Watch a hockey game at a fairly reasonable price and a fairly comfortable seat. The arena thing has gone out of hand. It just is. Arenas and stadiums. Moda Center, from the average fan standpoint, is just fine. There's no problem with it. Now, parking around it, that is a problem. I'm talking about the building itself. I won't get into the pay to park there is outrageous, too. But I've become a little more. This is one of the areas where in my life, and some of the things in my life I've gone to the left, and some of the areas in my life I've gone to the right. This one, I think I've gone to the right, even though judged by the mixture of people who vote for this, I'm not sure. But I've really gotten to the point of going, really? When I go to a game, I'm not sure what people are looking for when they go to an event these days. When I go to a game or an event, I'm going to assume for a concert goer this is similar. Concert goer can understand me, but a little more of a concern with I want the acoustics to be right because I want to hear the music well. But really, I'm just trying to go to the game. And everything else that's been put forward to me to watch the game is something I don't care about. I don't need game presentation. I don't need a laser show to bring the team in. I am now becoming an old cranky person, apparently, here because Cameron is grabbing his microphone. Okay, younger person, go ahead.
So something I've heard, and this has more to do with marketing than anything, is that they want to make it an experience and like a whole thing.
Yes, I know. I'm tired of the experience garbage, okay? When I go to if I want to go see the Portland Winterhawks play the Seattle Thunderbirds, I just want to go watch the Portland Winterhawks play the Seattle Thunderbirds. That's it.
But you can't make as much money.
No, you can't. You're absolutely right. But what bothers me, that actually doesn't bother me, except what bothers me is, and I don't think I'm alone here, I think I am in a vast majority, to be honest, is to create a place where, frankly, the majority of your population would have to spend a large amount of their income to attend the event. Go look at NBA ticket prices for any reasonable game, and they are... Taking a family of four, I mean, is frightening, I would think, for most people. And to do and then to expect it to be paid for and put together through public funding is just not right. I actually, frankly, have a much easier time accepting. You know, the state kicked in to help build the new ballpark in Hillsboro for the Class A team. At least a minor league baseball team. At least a large part of the population in that Hillsboro area can afford to go. At least those tickets are reasonable. I can get behind that a little bit. There's nothing reasonable about it. I went to see the Kraken and the Rangers, my wife and I.
Right.
Those were not cheap tickets. They were blinking expensive to watch a mediocre team against an actually I can now say flat out bad hockey team play.
Okay.
That my wife loves, but they're bad right now. Yeah, it's a shocking. I mean, it was $300 for the pair of tickets.
I think that
might. And even though I will point out that also includes the outrageous Ticketmaster fees that will still exist with whatever the Moda Center is when they get done with this.
That's what I was going to say. Is I think it's just part of a larger issue of price gouging.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also on the issue of, and when I get back to the governmental level, the next time somebody harps at you at priorities, if they voted for this, and I don't care that the money is going to come from the employee, the players, et cetera, from their taxes on what they get paid. Those taxes could have gone someplace else. And I'm getting more and more irritated with this game as I've gotten older. And I'm, as you know, I'm a sports fan. I am a big sports fan. But I have a lot more respect for the places that put the arenas together and the stadiums together, private funding, which a lot of owners hate when those teams do that. Mm-hmm. San Francisco Giants. I think they got some public land, but I'm a little more in favor. Okay, if you can take some dilapidated land, turn it into a stadium, and get it on the tax rolls, I'm a lot more
forgiving.
Able to deal with that. The Dodgers in the 60s, that Dodger Stadium is privately owned. They built it themselves. Walter O'Malley spent his money to do it. Probably ran out a whole lot of people that shouldn't have been run out of the stadium. Not nicely. I mean, that live there. Chavez Ravine. You can go look at the history of that. But, again, private money. I read, and it's not getting a lot of attention because, of course, we've got other, frankly, more important things. I get that.
Right.
But
right.
I'm just, again, next time somebody's telling me about, well, the transportation, we need to have priorities. If they voted for this, and apparently it's got bipartisan support, don't talk to me about priorities. Because clearly your priorities aren't there. At least they're not the same as mine. Because mine would have said, if the Blazers want to stay in Portland, they can pay for most of this. They can. You know.
I mean, how much money would the city lose if the Portland Blazers went somewhere else?
Okay, economists debate that a lot. There is, because what gets sold on these arenas sometimes, I know we need to run for news, but this turned out to be a pretty good conversation. What gets sold is, the economic, the spurring of other activity in the neighborhood of the arena, the stadiums. That was sold for the Rose Garden, which is the Moda Center.
Right.
Walk around there and tell me that anything got sparked. Really. There were supposed to be restaurants and things in this whole Rose Quarter complex. I covered games there. I've worked in that. I've worked, basketball games in that area.
Mm-hmm.
No, didn't happen. Didn't occur. Not even close. Nothing. There wasn't enough business there to get to survive. So now there are others who will say that, and then the other economists who say that's a fraud. It stadiums don't spark that. There is some evidence both directions. The Rose Quarter is not a good evidence for it. The places that seem to have done that is, and this I think is because there is a uniqueness to it, are the arenas that have the stadiums. They're baseball stadiums,
mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying this because I love baseball. But because there's more of a daily usage of it. During the summer, there's 81 games, 81 dates, more chance for things to happen. And by the way, in many cases, though, there were other entertainment attractions around it that created it. Like Philadelphia, everything, the arena, the football, the baseball, they're all like in one place. While it can be nightmarish, I'm sure, on the parking side, it does create a stability where you can have some restaurants, etc., find support through this.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the case of Portland, there is, though, a mental aspect to this. And I have to acknowledge this, that the Blazers walked, Portland is not a major league city. Because they don't have a major league team.
Right.
Now, I'm not sure that's a good way to define how great your city is. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's a lousy one. But I could see where the mental aspect of that.
Okay.
Where Portland would. Now, I would suggest, okay, NBA is major league cities. Think about some of the other places. Salt Lake City, Sacramento, Oklahoma City. Are those major league cities? What I understand were all cities that only have an NBA team. Don't have any other. Well, actually, Salt Lake City, that's no longer true because they just got the Utah Mammoth of the NHL. But the point being is, I just keep coming back to, this is not something the average Oregonian is going to get to consume.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Now, if it were back in the days when I was growing up, I remember when the Blazer tickets were $7.50, $6.50, and $5.50.
Oh, that's quaint.
That is very quaint. You are correct. Really quaint. I just dated myself. But even if you take, convert those into today's dollars,
mm-hmm.
that's still not close to what's getting charged now.
I know. I've seen those.
But it's, so I'm just, again, it's hard. And then you want me to take the transportation argument seriously. I'm sorry. This bothers me. It bothers me greatly. And maybe it shouldn't. I don't know. Maybe I'm in the minority. I don't think I am. But this should be dismissed out of hand. And they can decide if it's worth it to do business in Portland. Of course, I am also not a basketball NBA person, so maybe that's a little too easy for me. But, you know, I'll stop because it's bottom of the hour. We need to do some news, and we do have a local guest coming up here. We'll talk Columbia Gorge Orchestra Association in a couple minutes with Mark Steigner. 8:30 in the morning on MCT. More after this.
If you owe back taxes, listen carefully to rule number one. Never go up against the IRS alone. They're cracking down, freezing bank accounts, garnishing paychecks, canceling passports. Even your home or business could be at risk. But here's what they don't tell you. The IRS has powerful tax relief programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. That's why smart people call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. Nobody knows these programs like the experts at Optima. Their team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $2 billion in tax debt for people just like you. The IRS is not stopping, so don't wait and don't take them on alone. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Ever feel nervous walking into a gun store for the first time? You are not alone.
Hi, I'm not sure where to start. This is my first time here.
Welcome, and don't worry, you're in good hands. Whether you're new to firearms or just looking for information, we're here to help. At Gorge Guns, we understand that buying a firearm is a big decision, especially if it's your first time. Our experienced and friendly staff are here to guide you every step of the way. We offer safety course information, personalized advice, and a welcome environment for all our customers. Feel free to ask any questions you have.
Wow, thank you. This makes me feel so much better.
Visit Gorge Guns today and experience a different kind of gun store, where knowledge, safety, and customer comfort come first.
I felt silly for being nervous, but they were so friendly and really helpful. I felt so comfortable and supported.
Visit Gorge Guns, the best little gun shop in the Gorge, at 1040 Tucker Road in Hood River, or online at gorgeguns.com.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
A32 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. In the news, just mentioned the Oregon House passed a bill that will allow Oregonians to vote earlier on a package that would use a new gas tax to help fund the state's transportation department. It passed the House after it passed the Senate last week. The bill goes to Governor Tina Kotek. It would push the vote originally slated for November to May 19th. Legislative budget writers propose leaving more than 130 state jobs vacant, spending less on services and supplies, and moving around not-yet-promised money within public agencies to rebalance Oregon's budget and close a large funding gap with the Transportation Department. The Oregon Capital Chronicle reporting the move should cover the state general fund's remaining $128 million deficit during the next 18 months and the nearly $289 million deficit the Oregon Department of Transportation is burning the agency from hundreds of layoffs. Oregon lawmakers considering a bill that put safeguards on artificial intelligence chatbots in an effort to protect youth mental health. Senate Bill 1546 would place regulations on AI chatbot platforms such as ChatGPT, Grok, or Claude, where chatbots mimic personal conversations. Users often ask chatbots questions, and the chatbot provides AI-generated answers. The bill will require those platforms to refer users to mental health resources if they express ideas of self-harm or suicide, and would also require chatbots to disclose to users they are seeing AI-generated information. Legislation in Washington allowing luxury electric vehicle makers Rivian and Lucid to join rival Tesla in selling directly to customers is on a fast track for action in Olympia. If it crosses the legislature and is signed into law, Rivian would drop plans to make or rather spend millions of dollars this fall trying to convince voters to make the change. It was voted out of the Senate Transportation Committee. It is 8:34 in the morning. Mid-Columbia Today continues after this.
Hi, this is Zach from Del Carpine Automotive. We're so excited to operate in our new location, just a stone's throw away from our old shop. A family-run business since 2003, Del Carpine continues to provide exceptional auto repair service for both foreign and domestic vehicles, even Sprinter vans. From simple oil changes to complex engine restorations, our experienced team is here to keep you safely on the road. Visit us at our great new location or give us a call at 541-386-3133. Del Carpine Automotive, family-owned and locally trusted.
One smile is great, but one smile in a community of smiles is so much better. A smile has a secret power that most people don't know about. A smile multiplies. It spreads from one person to the next, stretching across entire groups of people. Smile Train knows this and is proud to be creating a wave of smiles across the cleft lip and palate community in over 70 countries. Patients, doctors, advocates, fundraisers. Collectively, our smiles are a celebration of the transformed lives of over 1.5 million children. Learn how Smile Train is helping the cleft lip and palate community at smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
Your local forecast brought to you by SheFire. For all your fire protection needs and safety training, we're certified, mobile, local, and insured. 541-980-1181. 980-1181. That's SheFire.
Mostly cloudy skies today. There is a 50% chance of rain. High temperatures in the mid-50s. And the west wind up to about 10 miles per hour.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
8:36 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're now joined on the phone from the Columbia Gorge Orchestra Association. Mark Steigner has come along with us. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
Oh, not bad. By the way, last night, I was doing an HRV basketball game. I tried to think of, the fire alarm went off during the game and the building got cleared during the game. Been through a few of those in our life. I can think of about three or four times in the gymnasium where she used to be involved in the band at HRV. Well, it seems like every once in a while, you just have that fire alarm go off and it just messes up everything.
Once upon a time, way, way back in the day, I think just, probably in the late 80s when I was teaching there at the high school, and we were doing a production of Little Shop of Horrors, and the custodian, in his wisdom, decided to test the fire system during the performance.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And what was really interesting is the audience just kind of looked around at each other and thought, well, I guess that's something. But they didn't get up and leave. So everybody, the show kept going on even though the fire alarm was going off, which is probably in retrospect not the best idea. But anyway, it was like, he was over in the main building and we were in the bow and they didn't know the difference. So.
Yeah, I think all of us who have been involved in this sort of thing for a lot of years, we have a couple stories like that, don't we?
More than a couple, probably.
Yes,
yeah.
More than a couple. Sure. But anyway, moving on to why we've got you here. Some events coming up for springtime for the CGOA, and one of which is coming up. You're going to combine the Jazz Collective Big Band and Stages Musical Theater. They're going to come together for one night only.
Yeah, well, here's what happened. Normally we have a Sinfonietta concert in March, but we're delaying that till April because we're doing a concert with Voci. So we needed an event for March, and there was the idea of maybe we could bring Stages singers together with a jazz band, because there's a big tradition of jazz singing, right, with a big band. So that's what we're doing. So we're doing a concert called Singin' and Swingin' on March 14th, and features about six or seven vocalists from Stages and the big band.
So that's going to be on the 14th, a couple weeks from now, at the Ruins in, actually less than 2 weeks now, downtown Hood River is where that's going to be. And this is one where you can also get up on the dance floor and dance.
I think, pretty much all of the Jazz Collective events now are, there's space for people to dance. It's become a it's become a tradition, and I think people come to the performances just to get to do that.
And so that's coming up on the 14th. You get tickets at gorgeorchestra.org. It'll be at the Ruins in downtown Hood River. And then you just mentioned in April, the Voce Community Choir and the Gorge Sinfonietta, they're going to get together, and there's going to be the world premiere of something that you have, I believe, co-written.
Yeah, so that concert features the Voce Choir, which is now up to about 80 singers.
Wow.
It's really gotten very big, and just it's very cool. They're going to be performing a piece called Frostiana, which is by an American composer named Randall Thompson. And it's, as you might guess, the poetry of Robert Frost set to music. It's kind of a choral music classic. And I don't know if we've ever performed it here with the orchestra. And then we're doing the premiere of something that I've written called Requiem in Five Stages, which I've written with Dennis Castanieres, locally probably more known as Alonzo Garbanzo, who plays, you know, has been playing around the Gorge for a very long time. So that's a big piece of music, and that's going to be the other half of the program.
So tell us about Requiem in Five Stages. What was kind of the inspiration behind this?
Well, it's kind of a big thing. So I don't know, without going too deep into the history of what a requiem is, but back all throughout history, a requiem is traditionally a service or a set of prayers that are performed at a funeral or a memorial, right? In Latin, that's kind of where it started back in the Middle Ages. And all the way through, you know, probably the 1700s, composers set that text to music, and it was performed in church, and it was usually a solemn kind of service. Mozart, very famously, the last thing he wrote was a requiem, which was unfinished when he died, and then his students finished it, and it's become a very famous piece of Mozart. And then in the 19th century, composers started taking those words and setting them to music, but as a concert piece rather than a church piece. Mm-hmm. So there became a big tradition in the 19th century of requiems, but not for church, but for concerts. Verdi wrote a huge requiem that's, 2 hours long and features a massive choir and a massive orchestra. And it's basically an opera with, the requiem text. So my requiem is kind of an interesting combination of the requiem text in Latin with poetry in English and song lyrics, which I then turned over to Dennis to write the music for, and he's going to be performing them in the requiem kind of as a balladeer, somebody who kind of speaks with the voice of people amongst all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned you do weave Latin into this, it sounds like.
We do, because there's some traditional parts of the requiem that have always been in Latin. And so I use those, and I guess the way it's sort of a dialogue between the traditional texts and the English texts and the songs. The way I look at it is requiems have movements that are about peace, and it also has a movement called Dies Irae, which is Day of Anger, and it's very dramatic. And my thinking was, what if somebody who is experiencing a loss was sort of having a conversation with those Latin texts? Would they be in alignment with them? Would they disagree with them? So we also kind of follow Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's Five Stages of Grief as part of it, but not not exactly. But it's called Requiem in Five Stages because it turns out there's some alignment between the Five Stages of Grief and the Requiem text.
Well, yeah, because I was starting to think that as you described it, and the Five Stages of Grief did come to my mind as a part of this. And you mentioned the history of Requiems and that's really kind of where they came from, was people in many ways dealing with their grief. And so it's not a surprise that there is a connection between all of this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, of course, her writing about that was in the 20th century. But, there's people are people and they experience grief in pretty predictable ways, if not necessarily in the order that, you know, she said. But I think, you know, the denial is still part of it, and acceptance and anger. I mean, those are all pretty basic emotions. So, you know, Requiem sounds heavy and depressing and sad. And there are definitely dramatic moments, but I think it's really hopeful and uplifting and peaceful at the end also.
So this is going to be the Wyoming East Middle School Performing Arts Center, The Road's Not Taken, with the Voce Community Choir and the Gorge Sinfonietta. Excuse me, it's going to be at 7 o'clock, Friday, April 17th, and Saturday, April 18th, plus Sunday, April 19th, 2 o'clock, Wyoming East Middle School Performing Arts Center in Odell. I'm trying to. You guys usually haven't had a Saturday night show.
We're doing three shows because we have so many people in the choir and in the orchestra. You know, we have about 150-160 performers. So we figured we're going to need some extra seats in there. So we're doing three.
And then in May, the Legends of Swing with the Jazz Collective Big Band. I'll tell you, the Jazz Collective is busy, aren't they? They are an active group.
Yeah. Well, you know, the great thing about the Jazz Collective is that it's a relatively small group, and it's easy to kind of slot them in. People love to dance. You know, to some extent, once they have their music, they have a set of songs that they use, and then they add new things. So it takes a little less time to prepare. So we're slotting them in as much as be possible because people really like that. Normally we do, you know, a musical or something in May, but it didn't work out this year. So the jazz band stepping in to help out once again.
It'll be the Legends of Swing, and it'll be May 7th, The Ruins in downtown Hood River at 7 o'clock in the evening. And, you know, I seem to recall, you know, back in the 90s, there was a revival of swing music, and we seem to be going through that again. I'm hearing a little more of it.
I think that's true. I mean, you know, during the 60s and 70s, you know, in the rock and roll era, you know, that kind of jazz was considered hopelessly outdated and old-fashioned to many people. But then, you know, as you said, in the 80s and 90s, you know, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy or whatever the groups were, right? And they were starting to do kind of that back to basics swing again. And I think it became kind of, you know, and Harry Connick Jr. became popular. And I think a lot of people started to embrace that again. You know, never ever totally disappeared, of course, but it's kind of in the language again, for sure.
And looking ahead a little further here for a couple things in June. Number one, if you like your music and also like to look at cars at the same time, going to be an annual event, Columbia Gorge Toyota and Honda. This is a free event. There's going to be an event June 14th called Jazz Under the Hood, appropriately enough, a dancing concert with the Jazz Collective Big Band. And I think you guys have done this now for 2 or 3 years.
Yes, this is the third year. Well, Columbia Gorge Toyota and Honda is, for the third year, our season sponsor. They've been extremely generous and supportive of CGOA. And so, yeah, this is the third year we're doing a concert there. It's a great venue. You wouldn't think a car showroom works out so well, but it really does.
And the last one I'm going to bring up, because this is an important milestone in your case, it is going to be a piano summit, and it's going to be a two concerto concert, and it's also going to be your last concert with CGOA as you move to the retirement stage.
Yeah, that's right, as I moved to the retirement home. That should be a spectacular concert. Kathy Appland is performing Liszt's Toten Tanz, which is this massive variations on an old Gregorian chant. Interestingly enough, the Dies Irae chant melody. So it actually ties back together with the Requiem in a way. And then Mitchell Jett Spencer, who's played with us several times, is going to be performing Rachmaninoff's Variations or Rhapsody on a Theme by Paganini, which is another very difficult and showy romantic piece for piano. So it's an all piano summit concert. It's something we've never done. I don't know if I've ever gone to a concert with two piano concertos.
Wow. And so, but by the way, I say move to the retirement stage. I was not moving you into the retirement home. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not doing that. I felt bad. Well, I felt bad about that.
Don't worry about it, Mark. It's fine. I may be. Who knows? I may be headed that direction any day now.
Aren't we all? You know, someday there's going to be a last show I do too here. I'm starting to see it in the horizon a bit. So, I understand.
I've been coming on your show, Mark. Since the 90s, I think. You know. So,
yes.
We've been doing this a long time.
That's why I plan in June to have you come back before that concert. We're going to bring you back one more time.
Please do. Yeah. We're actually in the process of picking a new conductor as we speak. We're kind of in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. So by then, for sure, we'll know who the new director is.
Well, I've got to ask this though, just before we get away, because when it comes to people who are involved in creative things, and that certainly defines you. Mm-hmm. Do you ever really retire from that? I mean, the creativity.
You know, I probably not. I mean, that part of your brain is spinning all the time. I know that from, you know, being a teacher for almost 40 years and judging festivals and, you know, being critical of performances, that part of my brain never stops. So anytime I go to performance, I'm having a little score sheet going on in my head as I do it. It's just impossible to, you know, listen to music just mindlessly. You're all, that part of it's always going on. So I imagine it's hard to, you know, turn that off. We'll see. Maybe it will.
Well, I know when one can retire from teaching. I know that because I live with that, as you know. And she didn't have any problem at all on that part of it. Retiring for teaching didn't take much. But it's the creativity part. And, you know, you've spent such a part of your life creating musical pieces, stage work, etc. I would imagine it's a little more difficult just to walk away from that part of it, because it's been such a defining part of what you do and what you love.
Yeah. Well, it's been, you know, rather than do it all at once, when we came back from the pandemic, you know, I knew it eventually. It's really good for the organization to have a change in artistic leadership. It keeps it vital and fresh. And, you know, we're all limited by certain things, so it's good to bring in new ideas. So I, you know, over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, I've been, handing off some of those tasks to other people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been good for the group to have those different ideas and different talents. So this is just kind of the last stage. You know, if it was all at once, it would be a shock. But this way it's been gradual. So it'll be different for sure.
Well, we're going to have you back before that set of concerts in June, and we'll talk about a life in creativity during that discussion.
Oh, that would be great. Thank you.
I think that'll be a lot of fun. But anyway, again, Singing and Swinging, Saturday, March 14th, the Jazz Collective Big Band stages the musical theater Ruins in downtown Hood River, 7 o'clock in the evening. Roads Not Taken with the Voce Community Choir and Gorge Sinfonetta, April 17th through the 19th. Two performances Friday and Saturday night. Sunday performance as well at the Wise Middle School Performing Arts Center. And on May 7th, Legends of Swing with the Jazz Collective Big Band, 7 o'clock in the evening, the Ruins in downtown Hood River. And then other things, of course, going on in June, all at gorgeorchestra.org. You can get tickets there. Mark Steiner's been with us. Mark, thanks for doing this again.
Thank you very much. Have a great week.
Have a good week. It is 8:53 in the morning. We'll wrap it up after this.
If you owe back taxes, listen carefully to rule number one. Never go up against the IRS alone. They're cracking down, freezing bank accounts, garnishing paychecks, canceling passports. Even your home or business could be at risk. But here's what they don't tell you. The IRS has powerful tax relief programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. That's why smart people call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. Nobody knows these programs like the experts at Optima. Their team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $2 billion in tax debt for people just like you. The IRS is not stopping, so don't wait and don't take them on alone. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Have you hugged an alpaca today? Hi, this is Angela. Visit Cedar Creek Alpacas and you might just get to hug Jasper, the famous alpaca. Come meet all the adorable new baby alpacas from this year. There are babies everywhere. There's a reason Cedar Creek Alpacas was voted best in the gorge in attraction, family entertainment, and gift shop. So plan your visit today and create unforgettable memories. More at cedarcreekalpacas.com. Cedar Creek Alpacas. We're just 10 minutes off Highway 14 in Cook, Washington. The alpacas can't wait to see you.
I am Heidi Headland, the quality manager at Skyline. I'm able to participate in all the patient care processes that are important, like what prevents patient falls from happening, what prevents patient infections from happening. Those type of things happen very rarely here at Skyline, I am happy to say. Skyline's a great place to stay if your family member is sick or if you get sick, because quality is a foundational aspect of Skyline Health. I am Skyline.
If you owe back taxes, listen carefully to rule number one. Never go up against the IRS alone. They're cracking down, freezing bank accounts, garnishing paychecks, canceling passports. Even your home or business could be at risk. But here's what they don't tell you. The IRS has powerful tax relief programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. That's why smart people call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. Nobody knows these programs like the experts at Optima. Their team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $2 billion in tax debt for people just like you. The IRS is not stopping, so don't wait and don't take them on alone. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
8:56 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Here's what we have scheduled for tomorrow. And I'm pretty confident tomorrow's going to work. Everything will be fine. Well, my schedule comes up here. It's not coming up. Oh, there it is. Washington State Representative David Stebe will join us from Olympia. Second half of the show, Amanda Lawrence from the next door. We're going to talk about the community legacy program they've got coming up in a couple of weeks. Thursday, Sarah Fox from Sense of Place with Adrian Slade is going to be their next presenter coming up on the 18th. And we will talk about rattlesnakes. Apparently, there's going to be a couple rattlesnakes at the event on the 18th. So if you've ever wanted to see a rattlesnake up close, I guess there you go. There's your chance. Megan Wickersham, OSU Extension on Thursday. Friday, Dr. Mike Foss will be along to talk animals on the show. Hopefully, everything goes according to plan. He hasn't been here the last couple days. Oh, we do have, though, Matt Warbritton rescheduled. He'll be on with us from the NRCS Oregon Snowpack Survey. And he told me that he has put a message on his phone to ensure that he remembers on the 12th in the first part of the show, which is a good thing. And we'll talk, and we'll have a little more knowledge at that point. We'll see maybe anything else comes in the next 8 to 10 days as far as the snow is concerned. For those who are wondering, by the way, I thought I'd throw this in. I really prefer interviewing people to doing a rant or monologue or whatever. I like the interviews a whole lot better. I don't sit here and think for a second any of you really care what I think. It's just they give me a microphone. They've given it to me for darn near 30 years now in this format for me to say what I want. I really don't get censored. I self-censor a lot. I think if I said what I really think sometimes, I fear what would happen when I go to the grocery store. I do. Now, if I was just talking sports, which would be a different format, but if I was just talking sports all the time, I actually would be far less concerned about that. But anyway, I'm out of time here. I'm out of things to say. I don't know what else to say. I used it in the first half. I have no idea what to say now. Cameron Eisenberg has produced and put up with me today. We thank him a lot. We're done. I'm Mark Bailey. Talk to you again on Wednesday. We'll be right back.
Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media, Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to GorgeRadio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.